Welcome to Spark Your Fire Podcast, sparking your interest in Australian property and finance. Here's your hosts, Jazz and David.
Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of Spark Your Fire. I'm your host, David Shee, and it's just in-house with Jazz today. Jazz, mate, how are you?
G'day, David. G'day, listeners. David, how's the day been, mate?
Hey, it's good. You know, it's been a sunshine week all the time, and you know, the weather's cold, but it's nice. I have to say, it's a nice winter. It is starting to get a bit warmer, but you know, and I think it's a nice change, just like the property market, mate.
Well, see the property market. While we're talking about the property market, there's a lot happening. There's a lot happening in the crypto space as well. It's going up and down. I don't know whether
that's your expertise, isn't it? What's the latest goss?
Well, the latest goss is Bitcoin went up all the way to 14,000 almost USD, and then dropped back to almost $9,000.
So you reckon it's a good time to buy?
You know, it's if you've got a spare cent sitting somewhere which you're spending on coffee or it's just sitting in your account which you can afford to lose, then
how many coffees do you need to buy one Bitcoin?
at this point, average price of a coffee, let's say it's $4. So you can do the math over here, 9,000 divided by 4.
Oh, okay.
Let's just see how many coffees you need to cut down on. 9,000 divided, 2,250.
So that's about what, 7, 8 months of coffee. So if you cut down 7, 8 months of coffee, you could be making a lot of money in a couple.
You know what, if Bitcoin goes all the way up to 100K or 1 million, then you can drink a lot more coffees.
Yeah, mate.
This is not a financial advice. We are just teasing.
I was going to say, mate, we're going to have to hold you accountable on this because we're going to visit in 6 months' time and see whether you're actually here with us in the studio or you're somewhere in Tahiti or somewhere very nice, somewhere exotic, let's put it that way. So for listeners, if Jazz has started going missing in 6 months' time, we all know what happened.
Please be advised, this is not a financial advice.
All right, that's enough, right? So you know, for our listeners, for those ones that are interested, Jazz is actually a co-host as well on Crypto Babble, which is another podcast that he does with your partner Mark, if I'm not mistaken. So you know, for those interested, definitely go and check it out as well.
Yeah, just on that, actually, we haven't lately done much episodes. We have been busy, but we did in the past. But if in case you have any general questions from a technology perspective, we can surely help. If you want to shoot us an email or something, more than happy to answer the questions. Yeah. All right, mate, what's the topic of the day? We haven't done our personal private chit-chat for a little while. Guests have been keeping us quite a bit busy. And it's almost like I was missing you in my honeymoon bed to some extent.
Mate, what's going on? I know. You know, I'm not getting too much love nowadays. But yeah, look, you know, I think it's good for us to be able to get back regroup again because, you know, we did have a couple of, you know, feedback and responses from our listeners. And one of them is in relation to wanting to know about what's the process and financials of growing from one PPOR, so one owner-occupied property, to building an investment property portfolio. And I thought that was an interesting one.
Yeah, no, that's an excellent question, David, actually. But before that, just to all our listeners, thanks for sending us all the emails or feedback through various chat forums, emails, whatever means you're using. We are trying to cover as many topics as we can and cover up all the questions, queries that you guys have. So just on this one, David, so it's actually funny. I actually had a client yesterday who I met fairly young in their mid-20s. And they've got a PPOR, principal place of residence. They actually live in Barrick, close to where I am. They actually asked me this question, Jazz, should we keep paying down the debt on our principal place of residence, or should we start jumping on the wagon of building an investment portfolio, or at least buy one investment property?
Yep.
So let's see what your thoughts are, and then we'll discuss them to see what's the best way to go about it.
Yeah, look, so I think, you know, most of the time when people have acquired their own home and they pay down for a while, you know, and it's based on their family circumstance as well, they and they're settled, and you know they got kids and they're happy, but obviously they want to do something more, and that's what the differentiator comes down to. So you know the good question that you raised from the Asian couple that asked you that yesterday, whether it's better off to keep paying down the debt or whether it's potentially time to do some active debt recycling strategy, take that equity out and be able to continue build. I think that just comes down to each individual risk. And that's one of the things that we, you know, as part of our fact-finding processes, is say, well, what is your goal? What are you trying to achieve here? Do you just want to continue pay down the debt yourself? Or do you want to be able to grow some wealth for your kids and your family later on? Because you've got the option or you've got the ability to be able to do both. It's just up to the client in terms of what you want to do.
Yeah, no, exactly. And we've said this a lot of times in the past. That's where investment savvy broker and a good accountant to some extent can help a fair bit, is understanding everyone's situation is very different, and it comes down to your risk profile, your financial situation, yep. What part of the journey you are currently in, how young or old you are, essentially. And that dictates a lot of this stuff. With the obviously principal base of residence or the owner occupied property, we all know, David, it's not a tax deductible. So you're paying all these hefty repayments on those on your principal base of residence, but you can't pay any tax deductions, right?
Correct.
Which means there's hardly any tax savings for a PAYG, because there's only a handful of ways you can save tax or minimize tax if you're a PAYG, which is either having an investment property or if you're leveraged through shares. Like property, and some of the other stuff, depending on what kind of work industry you are in, right? So from that perspective, it's really hard to answer the question as such whether you should jump onto the bandwagon of buying an investment property or not. But I guess normally, David, when we are sitting with the clients, the first thing that we look at is their financial situation and the goal that they're trying to hit, whether they want to retire at a certain age or they want to get out of the workforce at a certain age or they were planning to have a family at a certain age, right?
Yep, exactly.
And once we understand the overall picture, the holistic picture of the client, what client is all about, and what their finances are like, which is part of that holistic picture, it helps define a lot of the stuff. So a perfect example, like I said, the client that we were with yesterday, Asian couple in their mid-20s, they're planning to have kid in next 2 to 3 years, right? Their loan-to-value ratio for the current property that they had was roughly about 70 to 72%. Mm-hmm. They had savings of roughly about 30 to 40K in their offset account, right?
Yep.
And the available equity without triggering the LMI was roughly about 40K.
Yep.
So, and their salary together combined was reasonably good. There was nothing wrong with the salary, right? So the point being is basically they were in a situation where they could either keep paying down the debt the way they are at the moment.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They could have looked at purchasing the property in the next couple of months before actually having a baby or planning a family. Because we all know that the situation changes after once you have a family or once you've got dependents, that the borrowing capacity reduces, right? So as a part of the strategy that we were working on, this is only yesterday, is it's probably not a bad time to be looking at an investment property because they had some savings in place and their income was reasonable, their cash flow was good, right? And they already have got the owner-occupied property.
Yep.
So they can keep paying that down, but at the same time, they can try and pay it faster by moving on to the investment part of the journey, which is buying an investment property. And then in a couple of years' time, if the market does go through its normal cycle, which may take 6-7 years, whatever it is, right? They can look back at paying it faster by selling it or by releasing the equity, however the debt recycling is done with the help of an accountant and the broker in that case.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's look, you know, I think in that scenario, I've also had a very similar one as well, you know, early 30s, you know, same similar, kind of very similar, you know, they're wanting to be able to have their first baby in about 1-2 years time. That was our initial conversation about 2 years ago. And, you know, the couple actually had a PPOR. as well in Sydney, and they bought their first investment property before the baby was born. And while they were trying to actually get the second property, the wife was pregnant. So you know, at that point in time, there is a bit of a change to the circumstances. And then at that point in time, that's also when we reassess to say, look, you know, is it actually the right time to continue to grow your investment property? And again, just comes down to your risk appetite for the client. And you know, whether it's worthwhile for them to take that risk, knowing that they will need to have a bit more cash buffer when the baby comes out, and obviously the income goes down, as you said. You know, in that scenario, for them to be able to launch into the first investment property, because they have been paying the owner OC to a degree, so, you know, they did take out and deploy the active debt recycling strategy, split the loan into two, or in this case, refinance the loan into two. So there was a first portion of the loan, which is the P&I, the owner-occupied P&I portion, which they continue to pay down like they normally would. And the second portion is the equity release portion, which they took out, and it's for investment purposes, and we set it up as an interest only. And the reason for interest only is just because of the fact that if they do not use that fund, then essentially they don't need to pay interest on that. So it's only when they need to, it's only when they deploy the fund as a deposit for the property, for the next property, for example, then that's when the interest will start to get incurred.
I was going to say spot on. This is exactly what I was advising the client yesterday. Yep. They can have the money sitting in the offset account. So if they end up finding a good property, at least they know how much cash buffer they have. To be able to pull the trigger faster rather than thinking about too many things at the time. It's already an overwhelming process, finding the property and going through that whole process. Whereas if you have got some of the ducks lined up, it just makes it a little bit easier. A picture becomes a little bit more clear.
That's right. And you know, like usually, and that's what I usually advise my client as well, in terms of, you know, if you want to be able to build a property portfolio, what you need really is just two resources, right? You need either the cash or the equity as one resource, and the other one is borrowing capacity. Now, you know, each individual or each client will be different in the sense where one resource will be greater than the other, either that's borrowing capacity, or in some instances they will have a bit more cash or equity rich in that scenario. And then it's all about, once you work out where you are and where you want to be, how do you effectively utilize these two resources so that you can build your investment property portfolio in the shortest period of time. In other words, accumulate as you can, as much as you can, within the comfort and within reason of you can, and then just take it from there.
Yeah. So in short, basically, there's no clear answer of yes or no whether you should buy an investment property once you have purchased your owner off. It really comes down to your overall goal, strategy, risk profile is the most important thing. One of the questions she actually asked me yesterday was, this was literally the question I got asked, are you able to sleep comfortably with the kind of debt and the portfolio? And the answer to that was, look, I'm not buying a BMW car out of a showroom which is going to drop in tomorrow by 30-40%.
Yeah, depreciates in value.
Exactly. It's not replicating. It's a strategic move by investing in different states, different cycles, that if for some reason something was to go wrong, whether it's the health or funds are required immediately, then you can pull the triggers in different ways. It really comes down to the risk appetite, and it's a learning process. This is where I think a really investment savvy broker, property expert, accountant can really come in handy. Because they will look at the picture very holistically. They will look at how much tax you can save. And if the property was to grow, let's say, by X percent, 70-80% in the next 7-8 years, then how you can basically pay off your home quicker by just selling the property rather than trying to pay off home through your salary.
Yeah, no, spot on. And, you know, like as you said, the risk appetite for each one is different. But look, I think to answer the question, and you know, that's just assume. That's assume that... The client does want to proceed, does want to start building a portfolio, okay, in your client scenario. Let's say, you know, they reach out and say, Jazz, I've heard your podcast. It's really amazing. We've got this PPOR. We've been paying down, and we want to be able to build our investment property portfolio. Now, what's the next step?
Well, so in that case, again, going back to assuming now that we have already gone through the holistic picture of looking at the financial situation, and we know that we are going ahead with the investment property in this case.
Yep.
So the next step in that case would be is, first of all, trying to find out what the borrowing capacity is in this case, mm-hmm. for trying to be able to budget their investment property, right?
Yep.
And also, what kind of cash flow they have got, whether they want a high-yield property or a low-rent yield property with a higher capital growth, or a balanced approach where they get both the best of both worlds, right? So and that's again looking at the holistic picture of the client and deciding those things. But assuming in the current environment they're looking for good yield and a capital growth, mm-hmm. in that case basically you'll find out what the borrowing capacity is. You'll set up the current structures in place, which is if the equity is required to be released from the home for the purchase of the next property, which is basically refinancing. So you look at refinancing the property, release the equity attached to the offset account, so you don't have to pay interest, like you said before.
Yep.
And once that is set up, you know you've got a set amount of fund to play with, which to help you purchase the next investment property. And then you also know the kind of rent you're looking at, because your borrowing capacity is based off that as well. And then basically after that, it's the matter of helping the client either as a investment savvy broker or by analyzing some of the deals, or just basically finding the right buyer's agent for them, or the client just goes off and hunt the property themselves to some extent.
No, very good summary. That's that's exactly what kind of at a very high level the processes that you go through, and then there's strategies involved after you extract the equity. Of course, as you mentioned, Jazz, you know, let's say for example, if you looking at a $400,000 low value, low purchase price type of properties, and potentially, you know, let's say for example, you got a fairly big cash out of $200,000. At $400,000, you know, you might only need to, you know, use 12% of deposit to be able to get into the first investment property, and potentially you might be even squeezed through another one, depending on your borrowing capacity. In this case, you know, you might be borrowing at 88% just to supplement. So, you know, in this scenario, your borrowing capacity will be stronger, which means your cash equity position will be shorter. Therefore, you know, if you want to go as far as you can, and this is talking about the aggressive type of investors, then they would want to maximize the use of their stronger resource, which is borrowing capacity in this case, by going towards the 88% LVR and then minimizing the weaker resource, in which is the cash or the equity, so that they can purchase a couple more properties and accumulate them in a shorter period of time frame in order to try to ride out the wave. Whereas conversely, let's say, for example, some client might go, you know, mom and dad client might go, okay, look, I don't really want to accumulate that much. I just want to be able to buy one more, and that's okay. You know, in that case, then they might want to put in more from their equity and use less of their personal borrowing capacity. And then once they bought the next one, they might want to then start paying down some of the debt just to reduce the overall risk of the portfolio. So, you know, there's various ways in terms of the, you know, after what you do after the equity is being released, and it's just up to each individual and family risk appetite.
Exactly. So now you pretty much summed it up very well over there, David. It's really going through those steps in the right order, and if we follow those steps properly, which is looking at the holistic picture, starting all the way from your personal finances to your current debt to your future situation, what it's going to be like in the 2 or 3 years, how secure your job is, are you planning to start a family, blah blah, that will dictate of what the right step is, whether you should be making the next purchase or you should be holding on for a little while before pulling the trigger. And if the answer is make the next purchase, then it really comes down to find out what your borrowing capacity is, figure out what sort of, whether you're looking at a high yield property or a low yield property, because at the start, you don't know what the rent yield is going to be. So that's sort of assumed and baked in. Really taking it from there to say, you know what, this is what the numbers look like, and that opens up the market for you in terms of what suburbs that you should be looking at in what states. In a lot of the cases, brokers like us, you and I, who have been investing in the past, will actually to some extent help the client as well to not find the right kind of property, but more when they find a property, help them filter through to some extent, which is just a value-added service. And in other cases, they might just go with a buyer's agent, and the buyer's agents pick the right property for them by working along with a broker to understand the situation and then going out and hunting that kind of property. Or if the client is investment savvy or they just love to do their own research, then they'll probably end up looking for the properties themselves.
Yep. That's exactly right. You know, I think we both went through that process ourselves. You know, from a financial perspective, first of all, you know, we all accumulated to a degree our equity. Then we did the equity release, and then we started accumulating based on our own situation. So everyone goes through that. You know, it's not it's not rocket science as per se. But obviously, you know, you got to talk to your team, especially your mortgage brokers, your buyer's agents, your accountants, to understand what your long term goal is. And what are the potential upcoming changes in your life, you know, getting married, having kids, upgrading PPOR, all these things need to be factored in. Because let's just say, for example, if you are going to upgrade your PPOR and you know that your current PPOR is not going to be the ultimate home that you want to be in, then, you know, a good mortgage broker would be able to say, okay, well, based on what budget that you told me right now in terms of a future home that you want to purchase, say, for example, a $700,000 PPOR that you want, and you want to be able to borrow at 80% at a high level, so that's a $560,000 loan that you'll need. Where can we fit that? And in between, can we fit one or two investment properties in the meantime if you still want to accumulate wealth? Because I've got clients that come into me with that kind of scenario. You know, say, you know, they bought a piece of land, want to be able to build in about 18, 24 months. But in the meantime, they also want to be able to continue to accumulate because they know time is essence. They don't want to waste the 2 years or 1 to 2 years in between. So they want to be able to do something right now as an investment while waiting for that PPOR to come in. So that's where it's important to talk to your advisors, understand so that, you know, they understand what you're trying to achieve. They can map out the plan for you, what I call as a financial roadmap, to make sure that, you know, the client actually has the visibility of, okay, well, before we buy our PPOR, we could fit two investment properties in between for the time being. What are the risks? How much are each of the budget and purchase price that we should be doing in order to be able to get us to that point?
Yeah, so this is where if you just go to a bank, walk into a bank, one, you don't know what kind of product or service that they're going to offer you. Secondly, they don't look at the holistic picture. All they will look at is you are there to get a loan for X amount, and they either approve it or reject it or ask for some more questions based on the financial situation. But they won't actually sit down with a client and understand the full holistic picture to help them achieve the goal that they have set out in first place. So this is really where the good brokers come into play. And obviously they are hard to find because we are sitting on the podcast all the time.
Mate.
That was
all right. So I think that does that hopefully that answers the question. I don't know, Jazz, anything else you want to add to that?
You have sort of already touched base, but the only other thing is when you're looking at, if you have already bought an owner op, then yeah, it's pretty much what we have discussed over there. And if you haven't bought an owner op property and you're thinking of making the purchase, it's probably best to sit down with the broker at that point in time to see whether the owner op really makes sense there and then, or maybe you can turbocharge your wealth growth by going into investments in first place and then coming back into to your owner of property later in the stage. That's the only other thing, because from a debt recycling perspective debt recycling and from a tax perspective, it can boost up the wealth creation faster than compared to buying your own owner of property, which is not tax deductible. But that's really the only thing. Once you have done this process 2 to 3 times, which is once you have purchased 2 to 3 investment properties, you by that time start getting a pretty good idea of how things work. And on top of that, you'll have a solid team in place who have already helped you to get there and keep moving forward, essentially. So it's pretty standard. Yeah, pretty standard for the ones who jump on. It's like Nike's slogan, just do it. Educate yourself. And if you're listening to this podcast, you're already doing that to some extent. So it's more of a time to act by speaking to the brokers, accountants, and all that stuff, essentially. And once again, thanks to all the people who have been sending us the feedback. Super appreciated. We would love to keep seeing more and more feedback come through and cover different topics, different questions that you guys have. Hope you guys are enjoying the content. And if you are, please don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and let the word spread like fire. Spark your fire. Jazz and David. Cheers. Bye.
Ciao.